guys, I'm Andra.
I'm Jackson.
And today we are talking about when self-doubt kicks in when it comes to quitting your job. So we read an article recently and it said that quitting your job can be just as heartbreaking as ending a romance. And I actually agree. I mean, you spend so much of your time at work and when it's over, it's over. So it's hard. It's hard to leave. So this is episode 3 of a 10-part series on why you should quit your job. So if you haven't listened to the previous episodes, tune into that. And the one takeaway that I want you guys to get from this episode is that everyone does have self-doubt when it comes to quitting your job. You always, you know, you meander about it. But don't let it get in the way of you staying in a toxic workplace environment. Yep.
I mean, the first two episodes of this 10-part series were really about identifying whether it was you or the workplace or your manager. Were you being micromanaged? Were you too entitled? Now, those two will be pretty helpful for you to have a listen to if you are thinking of quitting your job or weighing up those options right now, and if you tuned into this one. So recommend those. But this episode is also about helping you navigate, I guess, through this journey, like that you aren't the only one, that many other people have been on this path before, and it's a tough one. But most importantly, it's because you're worthy. Like, we really know how hard this can be, and we really want to just try and break down a couple of those, I guess, social taboo topics that you can talk about this. And if not to your family and friends or your parents, who can sometimes be pretty hard on you and, oh, don't quit, this is good for your career, this and that.
I fucking hate that advice.
You can have
so
a listen
much
in here, and hopefully there's some helpful tips to if it is toxic and we have identified that you've done everything that you can, that we need to pull the pin and get you out of there, get you in a happy work environment.
Yeah, so what are some of the self-doubt thoughts that come to mind when you're thinking about quitting?
I mean, yeah, maybe there's nowhere else that I can go after this. Who else is gonna pay me this much? Will I have as many friends at that next place, because it is really cool, the lunchroom banter that we have, or we go for drinks after work and I'm mates with Jono or Jenny or whoever it is. But there's loads of reasons why people feel, maybe I'm being silly.
Maybe I'm not working hard enough.
Maybe I need to save up more for my kids' tuition or something. But all these reasons that they're what if, what if, what if. And all they're doing is they're actually not only stifling your career trajectory, they're actually stifling your own mental health and well-being. And more importantly, like, those around you are being affected by it as well. When you're coming home and venting on, you know, oh, my manager's a micromanager or this and that, or I've had such a bad day, or you wouldn't believe it, to your partner, or you're deflecting that off to your kids. Even, you know, the way you're cutting their sandwiches is like aggressive. It's just like, it's not the right environment. So sometimes ripping off the Band-Aid is the best way forward. So we'll help out there how we can.
Yeah, I think those were really, really valid points. So, you know, if you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling agitated, if you're feeling drained and you have less energy, you said it best, you're losing more, way more by staying.
One that actually comes up quite a bit is I guess we're taught, you know, toughen up. Oh, my granddad buddy went to war, or my nan was working when she was 13. So, you know, I've just got to toughen up. And both of those things are actually a reality to me. You know, my nan was working at 13, the hardest worker ever, and giving her money to her parents at that age and not even getting to save any of it herself, didn't get to go to school. She's cleaning floors and all sorts of stuff. And then my great-granddads legitimately did go to war. So do I have it easier than them not living through depressions and wars? Absolutely. But does that mean that I don't have choices and in this country that they've fought so hard on their own backs for and given me and my family the opportunities to sit there and waste that? I think they'd be horrified that if there was a better option for me to be happier or more fulfilled or do greater things in my life, that they didn't work that hard for me to waste that opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. And when it comes back to self-doubt, I think in every situation when I've quit my job, there's definitely been a period of me asking myself all these questions that we mentioned. And it's really, really intense. And it's like you really have to go within yourself and find the right answer for you. But you've told me a story about a time when you just quit your job kind of on the whim. And I said, did you have self-doubt? And you said for about 3 minutes. Do you want to share that?
Yeah, this is going back about 9 years ago now, before I left Australia, went and traveled for a few years, before I really discovered how big and grand the world is, before I even got into tech or sales or any of these things. So I was pretty raw and young, and you know, it would be our last topic, our last episode was about entitlement. So it's pretty easy for my older boss, who was about 65, to call me young and entitled. But I was out on the mines on a gas pipeline in northern WA, remote, about 50 degrees, crocs everywhere and sharks. There's no way you could swim, and it was quite ridiculous. So it was quite tense. There wasn't really any social life or anything like that. You're on a camp. Point is, I'd made this guy a lot of money. He was paying me really well as well because it was the mines. But I think there was that level of ownership. It's like, I've bought you here. I've given you this job. You'll do exactly what I say. And he probably hadn't told anyone that. He probably hadn't been told to fuck off by any of his employees before, or maybe he had, but the way he sort of took it, he was taken quite aback. And even saying it right now, it sounds maybe quite abrupt, but I was 21 years old. I was fit. I was doing the best I could do. And he just kept riding me. Ah, you young, da-da-da-da-da, do this, do that. And in the end, I just said, mate, you can just go fuck off, like, because I don't need to be here. And he goes, yes, you do. You've got another 2 weeks of work and da da da, I'll send you home, this and that. And I said, well, mate, that's fine. You can send me home. There's no worries. And even being paid $3,500 a week, which is money that I may never make again, who knows, hopefully, but that was a hell of a lot of money to just throw back. But I had enough self-respect that if I was being treated like rubbish for 3 or 4 weeks in the sweltering sun, when I'm working to the bone for a guy that is disrespecting me, that, you know, maybe looking back, I shouldn't have told him to fuck off. But at the same time, if I hadn't have and I had to just dealt with it, then who knows? Maybe I'm still being disrespected by bosses today. And I'd like to think that now I've lived my life on my own terms. I haven't had to say that to a boss since, because I've made the right choices to put my own self-esteem and my own self-worth on a pedestal. So I've actually selected people to work for that I admire. I mentioned them a few podcasts ago, but if you feel like you're spinning in the sand, if you feel like someone's bringing you down, you absolutely do not have to deal with it.
Well said. I don't have anything to add to that. If you're feeling like shit, it's time to go. And I think that's a very basic question you could ask yourself when you wake up. Do I feel like shit going into work?
Yeah,
if the answer is yes.
Is my mental health being affected by this? Am I being treated like a mule or a drone? You know, at the end of the day, there's, I think, one real great way to, I think, get composure or release a little bit of that agitation or stress or pressure is, you know, through mindfulness. You're pretty big on this, Andra, being kinesiologist and right into wellness. But through our chats, I've delved into, you know, meditation and yoga and things like that. But ultimately, those things shouldn't be used to give, like, to take you from a full cup in a really high pressure environment to back to normal. You should be living normal, fulfilling, happy life, and then using those mindful activities to release extra space for creativity, for fitness, for health, for enjoyment, not just trying to calibrate and get you back to square one. Do you have anything to add on the wellness front? I know you've got a long career in it. So.
Yeah, I mean, I love yoga, I love meditation, but I think it adds to my life and it brings me joy. And when I'm doing it out of desperation because I feel so flat and depressed mm-hmm. in what I'm doing in my day to day, it's like what you do 80% of the time is really a reflection of your life, not what you do the 20%, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm meditating and taking care of myself 20% of the time and then the other 80% I'm complaining and feeling like crap, that's not a healthy equation. So again, there's things you can do that can help you last longer, that can help drag out that period. But ultimately, like, my advice to anybody listening is, if you are going through this period of self-doubt, the answer is it's time to move on. So start making plans to move on.
Yeah. I mean, to wrap it up for me and to conclude my piece, it's absolutely not to go and tell your boss to fuck off. Like, I don't recommend
what do you
that.
Mean?
If you're working in an office environment, if you have respect for anyone, at the end of the day, they've got other issues in their life, and that's not the point of this story. It's actually quite the contrary. It's try and strike up a conversation, try and let them know how you're feeling and that your self-worth has been, I guess, taken advantage of, and that, you know, you're seriously looking to leave. And if that goes down like a lead balloon, again, you still don't have to say fuck off. I was in the sweltering heat in the desert on a mine, and it's vastly different to how I'd behave now if I was in that environment and how I did behave a month ago. I just said, look, this isn't for me. The company's got a fantastic vision, and there's certain things that I don't agree with and probably don't see in my future. So it's on me to not be the problem and actually go off and do something about it. And that will be what we chat about in the next few episodes on how we go about getting a job, the dream job, how we go about reaching out to people who should be, you know, who we see as those dream managers or leaders that we can learn so much from. How can we acquire those skills to have choice?
Yeah. I just want to say one thing, because I know our listeners are probably going to be asking themselves this question. So I agree. First of all, don't tell your bosses to fuck off. but you said try to have that conversation and tell them it's affecting your self-worth. A lot of people I know will feel like they can't. So what do you have to say to them? Like, they don't have the environment to have that conversation. It takes a lot out of a person to say that to their manager. And they can be seen weak in the workplace. I mean, especially as a woman, for example.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's obviously what HR departments are for. That's probably a podcast in itself. But HR departments are probably meant to be there for the organization's, I guess, legal benefit, to make sure that they don't do anything wrong by employees. However, good new companies are starting to go to a PX sort of role, which is a personal people experience. So different to the HR is there to make sure the business does the right thing by the people that ultimately affects the business. Whereas people experience is there to look after the people that within the business, so they get the best outcome for the people. Now, that's not to say that your HR departments don't look after you. Go have a conversation with them. Make sure if you can't approach your manager, you're approaching others. Get some advice from other colleagues who are managed by that person or who may have done so in the past. Maybe someone else resigned for a similar thing, and maybe it be worth saying, what are your learnings? Did you pull the trigger too early? Things like that. And then, ultimately, if there's nothing getting through or you cannot have that conversation, there's obviously big issue, underlying issues. So please value your self-worth. Please know that you are worthy, and go out and actually start looking for those dream jobs. What makes you happy? What would you do if it wasn't for money? You know, do something that you love, and it will bring money eventually. Have money as a secondary item in what you're looking for. Look for what you would enjoy, what your values align with.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to wrap up. If you can't speak to anybody about it, then that's also a sign that it's time to move on and leave.
Absolutely. Thanks for tuning in.
Ciao.
Ciao.